the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is January 11th, 2016, and Mondays are our days that we interview. I have decided on the Age of Vision radio show to basically adopt the cause of St. Louis ever since I've heard about it. I began to realize that we are St. Louis, that as Americans, we have an obligation and a duty and sort of a responsibility for all of us, and not just Americans, as human beings, for all of us to take care of each other and to really force the nuclear industry to own up to what it has done, the harm it has caused. And it's not really about placing blame, because blame looks backwards, responsibility looks forward. The goal of this show and the goal of much of the activities that I do is to transform people's minds about how they move forward in life in the age of vision. We now live in a world that has nuclear poison everywhere. And as the people of St. Louis are discovering, it's in a lot more places than we ever imagined. So this morning I have on the air with us a young man named Drew Kuhn, and he is from the MAP. It's called the Missouri Accountability Project. And he is here to share some of the information and the activities that they're doing. So let me just introduce him right away. Drew, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Lonnie. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you being here. So why don't you give us a little bit of background about yourself so people will understand where you're coming from?
Sure. I'm 22 years old, and I'm a third-year engineering student. I've lived in St. Louis my entire life. I grew up with a sort of a blind knowledge to the nuclear waste issue in St. Louis. My father worked for Mallinckrodt Pharmaceuticals. He worked in the water treatment and would wear a Geiger counter to work every day and some days have to come home early. But it wasn't until about 5 years ago that I learned of the waste that was dumped in Coldwater Creek and subsequently Weldon Springs and Rough Cliff Landfill in Bridgeton. I live about 3 miles as a crow flies from that site. Presently in good health, but I am now working as the spokesperson for Missouri Accountability Project, as you mentioned. And what we're aiming to do is to empower voices of citizens with science and reason to effectively engage our government agencies as advocates for protection of the environment and public health and safety. I think it's crucial that citizens participate in their democracy to hold our elected officials accountable. And with dealing with an issue like nuclear waste, there's a severe lack of accountability. So we want our voices to be heard and our concerns to be understood.
I appreciate that. So I have a bunch of questions off of what you just said to me. But first off, I want to ask you, is your dad still working for Mellencrop?
No, he left there about 20 years ago. My dad's in pretty poor health. He lives on the West Coast now.
Having worked at Mellencrop, that affected his health.
Yeah, I believe so. He had a previous condition going in, working there. It's just kind of been a...
Well, his previous condition still could have been caused by the nuclear waste in St. Louis. You know what I mean?
Precisely.
Like, this is the whole thing about it. It's like, this is such a quagmire of stuff. Now, when you say that there is holding accountable, are you talking about our elected officials or holding Republic Services and the people engaged in the lying about? Essentially, they've been lying for 70 years.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Republic Services has a lot more to do with our elected officials than we as citizens do. They have a lobby arm and donate a lot of money to political campaigns. So it's kind of a back and forth pull of influence between the interests of citizens and the interests of Republic's bottom line.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I was actually stunned. I read an article that said that Republic Services, their lobbying group, had given $50,000 to the Republican Party at the state level for the representatives and $50,000 to the senators at the state level. And frankly, I was dumbfounded that those politicians were bought off so cheaply. I mean, it's not like, that's not a lot of money. That's not a lot of money. That's a drop in the bucket. And I was just... You know, I read that article about that woman who was tweeting some negative comments about the St. Louis Moms and her salary.
Ah, Molly Teichman, yeah.
$1,500 a month is her salary. I mean, like, that's cheap. That's like, you know, no offense, but I mean, in my view, that makes prostitutes look good. You know, I mean, honestly, that's a more honest line of work than what these people are doing. I'm just blown away. So
she needs to be a bit confused. I have to tip my hat to Molly in that sense that she doesn't make very much money, but she does certainly go above and beyond and sort of not only whitewash the issue, but also to sort of make personal attacks.
Well, look, the issue is this. It's about personal integrity and conscience.
Right.
You can't just because you have an allegiance to a company go out there and ignore the cancers, the death, the harm, the grief, the horrible emotions that are the whole... Every person living near Westlake Landfill lives in a constant state of anxiety, knowing that God knows when it might happen to them. And you actually have to work just to remember that it's okay to be happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's unconscionable. This is really what this show is also about, is the social programming that makes that okay. Is we need to call that out, because it is not okay for us to lose our integrity and harm the planet just for the money gods. It's just not appropriate. So, and it's not even, in that case, it's not even money. It's just she's trying to prove her allegiance to somebody, I guess. So it's unconscionable in my mind. I want to ask you, what activities are you doing? What are you engaged in right now?
Well, presently, we've been engaging the St. Louis County Council because they are the permitting authority over Bridgeton Landfill, and they are the ones that can okay their permit to operate, even though they're violating state and federal laws for their transfer station, which is where the trash moves from the St. Louis area to their dump site in Illinois. But also...
Let's talk about that in a minute. We'll go back to this. Sure. So you were lobbying them to not give them permits. Is that what you're attempting to accomplish?
Yes. That and to have a citizen review board, citizen input on the emergency evacuation shelter-in-place plan that was kind of dumped on us a year in the making and seemingly incomplete. we believe that there could have been more input from the citizens that it affects, and we want a voice in how our government will respond to a worst-case scenario or a crisis that may require us to shelter in place or evacuate the area.
Well, let me just ask you this. Why aren't you guys, to me, I can't, this has been, frankly, I'm just going to spew it out. I'm not very politically correct, but sure. I can't comprehend why citizens living within 10, 15 miles. I mean, I would compare the of livability to those up in Hanford, because it has a similar type of Manhattan Project waste up in Hanford. Yeah. So those people are not allowed to live a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles away. They're required to live 15 to 20 miles away. Nobody can just live right next door. So why is it that you're talking about the St. Louis City, the St. Louis Council?
County Council,
right. The St. Louis County Council. Why have they not formulated a plan to create an emergency request? This is obviously, I believe that the federal government ought to step in and relocate anybody who is living way too close.
That's what we've been asking for years now, Lonnie, and I definitely share that sentiment in that we shouldn't be living this close to waste this hazardous.
No.
And it's heartbreaking to think that we're fighting just to have a say-so in their response to a worst-case scenario when it could possibly be avoided in the first place.
It is a worst-case scenario.
That energy.
It's already a worst-case scenario.
I agree, but honestly, I think it could get worse.
The reason I adopted this, when I saw on the Westlake Landfill page, a woman was showing pictures of her child in progression. I think the child was 7. She posted it. She noticed she got sick, and then she's going to the doctor, and then she's sitting on a hospital bill. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. The next one, the line was, well, she died last June. And I'm like, what? I believe this is unconscionable. So when you approach these people and say, we need to request emergency funding from the federal government to move. Congressman Lacey's office told me they have identified about 1,000 families that they believe need to be moved immediately. Now, out of the 1,000 families, is there any legislation going on from his office? Because their office told me that number. Or from the city council, or from the federal government, or from the state government to relocate these people, and probably included in your family. You're probably one of those families.
Yes, I am. So I definitely have a vested interest in this. But as far as we know, there aren't any solid plans to relocate families. There's a possibility that damages collected from the Attorney General's case versus the public services could be allocated to relocate families. There is two pieces of legislation, Senate Bill 2306, and Missouri House Bill 4100, which would transfer the jurisdiction of Westlake from the EPA to the Army Corps of Engineers. This was a bipartisan supported bill from across the aisle. Our senators and representatives worked together to transfer the authority to someone, to an organization who has proved their competence in dealing with this sort of issue, and EPA has thus far failed the citizens of St. Louis through this. But
I'll tell you what, in my view, everybody has failed St. Louis, because these two pieces of legislation, as we discovered early on when I took up this issue, these two piece legislations, even if they get passed, we still have to ask them to be funded, and we only have $100 million to slice up in the pie. And so it may not be well. And this is the biggest offense to me. This excludes remediating and relocating. And there is no conversation about relocating people living in danger. And this is where I'm like, I can't understand why this. I mean, I watch these meetings going on. I keep myself abreast of it, and I'm doing these interviews every week, and I'm just like nonplussed. Like if I was in St. Louis, that would be my primary action, to like create legislation that we could get a co-sponsor on. You know, write some draft. It's not that hard to write a cookie cutter piece of legislation to get somebody, even at the city council level, to start pushing some legislation through that says, Okay, so we've identified these families who really ought not to be living there, and we know that it wasn't done intentionally, but we need to face this responsibility and move these people. And frankly, it's not that much money that would take to relocate 1,000 families.
No, and I think this bridges well into my next point about some of the work we've done on this. We created a petition to Governor Nixon to declare a state of emergency surrounding this issue. And there are several federal programs in place that would allow for a relocation of the most immediately affected families. We really took this out of the playbook for the Love Canal situation in 78 in upstate New York, which for some of your listeners that may not be aware, there was a landfill that was dumped with toxic chemicals, radioactive material, and the governor of New York in 78 declared a state of emergency, and he used that authority to facilitate an interagency response involving officials from the local to the county to the state and federal level, as well as the Citizen Review Board, to really to address this issue before it got any worse, before more people got sick. The governor today has the power under the Stafford Act to declare a state of emergency and begin activating some of these federal programs under the Stafford Act to bring in federal funding to sort of prioritize hazard mitigation. And I think first and foremost, when we talk about hazard mitigation, the primary hazard here, though, also to our clean air and water, are to the families that are living around this waste that had no idea when they bought homes here what they were living next to. The governor's office, as of late November, early December of 2015, more or less sitting on their hands, waiting for the EPA to come forward with an isolation barrier plan. That isolation barrier did not move forward in 2014 because the radiologically impacted materials had not been adequately characterized in the Southwest Quarry or near the transfer station. But also, the design process for that barrier would take at least 18 months. So, with something as time sensitive as this, all we got is was this beginning of January was an announcement about an announcement that the EPA is gonna that they're making this a priority. There's no solid plans. They haven't confirmed a location for this barrier. So I think now is the time when we need to put more pressure on our state and county officials to come together and to work out some sort of solution without having to wait for the EPA to sit on their hands more and work through the bureaucratic process of finding a solution, because they've had quite some time to take care of that. But again, here we are today, and there's still no isolation barrier. There's the waste is still uncontained.
Wow. Well, so you're telling me this much acclaimed isolation barrier that we keep, I have heard, I actually call, I've called elected officials on and off the air, and they have assured me that don't worry, we're building an isolation barrier. We're going to keep the contaminated waste away from, the nuclear waste away from the fire. That barrier takes 18 months to build.
To design, just to design before construction can even
What?
begin. Yeah,
That's
that's what.
just a, I mean, let me ask you this, and this is a very blunt question. Are you guys
Sure.
thinking about organizing sit-ins? Because I think you need bodies, honestly.
Yes, that's an idea that's being worked through right now, and I don't want to say anything until it's official, but yeah.
Good, because you need bodies sitting in elected officials' offices going, the slow train has got to get faster, because this is the thing that has this blows me away on every single issue whenever I deal with or talk to anybody, even the anti-nuke activists. They're very used to the slow train. Well, it takes time. We actually don't have time. This is actually a state of emergency that Governor Nixon needs to address and declare. And the people in St. Louis need to be remediated and moved immediately, because my understanding is that fire's headed towards the nuclear waste, and it will take no more than 3 or 4 months to hit there. Am I incorrect on that?
Well, the time frame is uncertain. However, the highest temperatures recorded are actually in the cool near the cooling loop in the neck of the between the North and South quarries. And it's that's where originally the EPA wanted to build their isolation barrier was in the neck. And again, they couldn't move forward because they couldn't find a clean line. They couldn't find anywhere that wasn't contaminated. So between the neck and the farther north in the north quarry, I'm still unsure where they think they'll be able to build this thing. But it doesn't look hopeful.
Well, do you guys have anybody out there independent of the government looking at this waste
site? Yes. Dr. Robert Alvarez, he's working on a newer report that's being peer-reviewed, but in 2013 he published a study on Westlake, which you can pretty easily find by searching Robert Alvarez Westlake study 2013, and that really outlines the severity of the waste that's in Westlake. And interesting note about that, the largest quantity of waste that's in Westlake is thorium-230, which was processed by Mallinckrodt, but was actually not a contract through the federal government, from my understanding. That was another separate project that Mallinckrodt had worked on, but it was all dumped in the same location. Thorium-230, for your listeners that may not be aware, it's about 60,000 times more radioactive than uranium, from what Robert Alvarez has published. And I think this provides some insight into the extent and the severity of the waste that's contaminating our water.
I don't mean to ask you. I mean, I apologize, but I want to hear that again. This is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, no problem.
Do you mind repeating that?
Thorium-230, which is a radioactive isotope of uranium, it's actually 60,000, six with four zeros, times more radioactive than uranium. And it's about 200 times more radiation than a typical X-ray. And this is, Westlake is one of the largest deposits of thorium-230, at least in the country, to my knowledge, maybe if not in the world. So this is the bulk of the, thorium-230 creates the bulk of the waste at Westlake, along with uranium and radium-260 and other
plutonium, all the other usual horrible stuff.
Yeah, nasty stuff.
So this thorium, when you guys recently got flooded, what really blew me away when I went to the EPA site, within 24 hours they had something up that said, we don't have any reason to believe that the radioactive waste has leaked. So that thorium, the largest, and you guys have been, this is really one of the most shocking parts, and maybe this is why Louisiana is like the cancer capital of the world, because it's downriver of Missouri and St. Louis. But, you know, every time you get flooded, this is the largest deposit of thorium in the world, you just said?
Yes, and it sits in a major Missouri River floodplain. So the environmental factors that you have to consider are certainly the flooding that goes on, as we were able to see this winter with some of the largest recorded floods since 93.
See, this is exactly that fact alone is why I believe that Governor Nixon will not declare a state of emergency. They are resisting it because once they agree to any liability at all, I mean, this thing is so much. The one thing I do know from my self-studies of how the nuclear industry runs, I read, in fact, on my YouTube channel, I read the books by Dr. John Goffman. I've read two books now. And the book that I'm recently reading is called Poison Power. It was a big seller in the 70s. It was the case against nuclear power, which obviously got ignored. But one of the things he said in his book was that the nuclear industry, he studied how they reported it. And he said the nuclear industry, the U.S. military, and the U.S. government basically deny that radiation causes harm. And they underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90%. So they're sticking to that story, it sounds like. They're totally in complete denial that anything is happening. And this is where I believe we really need to push with our bodies. I mean, We're like bees. You know, if you get one bee sting, you're not going to be that hurt. But if you get a swarm of bees, it can knock you down and cause you severe harm. That's what we need.
Certainly
This
the
is
power
why I
numbers.
say we really do need, I mean, Americans need to wake up that we have really literally been lab rats for the nuclear industry. And it's time for this to end. The comments that you've made to me this morning are just like beyond shocking. I mean, so why don't you go on? Because I'm sitting here in a state of disbelief that like that you guys have to actually live through this. And honestly, my hat's off to you for the courage that you have for taking this issue up at such a young age. So, besides talking to the city council, is MAP involved in any other projects?
Yeah, we're working on getting setting up film screenings of the first Secret City and the Safe Side of the Fence for other areas and neighborhoods in St. Louis that may
Say
not be
that
aware
again,
of
the
this.
first secret city.
The first Secret City and the Safe Side of the Fence, which are about some of the nuclear issues in St. Louis, and
How long have they been? Who made those films and where do they come from?
They were both aired at the film festivals here in St. Louis, Tivoli.
Wow, really?
I don't have the I don't have the names
The
of the
details of all
film
that.
producers right on hand, but
That's okay. You don't need to.
they were shown here, so we're working on screenings, and I know that there are a few more screenings coming up that are also independently organized. One is at the Pear Theater on Manchester. And you can find more details and information about that on the Westlake Landfill page. And we'll also be posting about those screenings on the Missouri Accountability Facebook page, which you can find just by searching Missouri Accountability Project.
Now, are you guys doing any kind of an outreach to the people in St. Louis, like to get more people actually aware that this is something that needs to be taken care of more urgently than slowly?
Yes, well, I'm glad you asked me that. We worked with a very talented young graphic designer to put together an informational flyer, two-sided, that really kind of breaks down the history of the site of these sites and what they can do as citizens to engage their officials and involve with the community. And we are going to canvas those out on January 24th. So, if you're interested in that information, again, you can visit our Facebook page at Missouri Accountability Project.
So you have a Facebook page called the Missouri Accountability Project.
Yes.
Okay. Are they all, it's all connected, Ability Project. It's all spelled out. Okay. I haven't seen that page, so I will go to it and I will like it. But, you know, this idea, I mean, you know, this, unfortunately, you know, the people of St. Louis really only found out about this nuclear waste by accident because of the fire. I mean,
Yeah.
it's not like anybody in government said, "Hey, by the way, we've discovered you're living right next door to a nuclear waste dump site." You know what I mean? They all just sort of calladito kept their mouth shut and walked on. And essentially, that's kind of what they're doing now. Like you talk to me, you guys are talking to the St. Louis County Council about stopping the permits or creating changes in permits, but there's no legislation like this state of emergency to get people relocated. To me, I think that, I mean, as far as how they handle the waste, that's a second project. That should be number two, not number one. These two pieces of legislation going through the Senate and the House, those are, I mean, and in fact, as Congressman Lacey's office basically explained, even when they get passed, and it looks like they will easily get passed inside committee, it's going to be a rubber stamp paperwork issue. The big issue is the funding, and none of it's going to happen quickly. It's all in the budget, and they treat this as if it's like, let's go get a haircut. I mean, I'm just frankly nonplussed by the lack of urgency on this issue from every elected official who, frankly, even live in St. Louis. I mean, the only one that I've heard who had a real, true, honest sense of urgency was Representative Nadal, Chappelle Nadal. I mean, she's done some outstanding work. That's what I think. Nadine
Yeah,
Chappelle.
I agree, and I do think that that this issue is more urgent than people might think. We've had more than one fire break out in Bridgeton and Westlake Landfill. The first that was known by the EPA was in 1992, and it was actually in pockets of the North Quarry where the waste was dumped. And even then, they deemed that it wasn't a threat to mitigate for
human health. No harm to human health. Right,
right.
That's their phrase. No harm to human. You know, Dr. John Goffman, in his book, this is the analogy he made about how the nuclear industry really runs the program. Is that he made this analogy of if there's 1,000 people in a stadium and the lights accidentally go off for 10 minutes, and during that 10 minutes, somebody is stabbed and murdered, and when the lights come back out on, they would say, well, nobody got murdered because we didn't see it. That's exactly what they're doing.
Nuclear waste isn't something you can see with your eyes. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like it's a hidden. I would call it more of like a dragon almost, because it's sort of, you know, it transforms and it changes and it changes not just in state, but it also changes your DNA. It changes your physiology, and it makes you sick over a long period of time. And I think this is one of the issues that we've really had to deal with on a legislative level, and, you know, for families too that are suffering that can't necessarily correlate their illnesses with radiological contamination, even though where you see this contamination, you'll see higher levels of cancers, rare forms of leukemia, immunodiseases, thyroid problems, breast cancer,
schizophrenia, diabetes.
No one's, I'm sorry?
Schizophrenia, diabetes, sterility, right. Genetic. Do you know that the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, on their website, our government allowed when they started building these nuclear power plants, every study that they have conducted has shown that nuclear waste, when you say these people can't necessarily correlate it to nuclear waste, that is 100% invalid. That's not correct. The government denies it. But it's 100% incorrect. Every study that was conducted in the earlier years by Dr. John Goffman, Dr. Arthur Tamplin, and Linus Pauling. Dr. Linus Pauling actually won a Nobel Peace Prize for his work showing how damaging nuclear radiation is to babies in utero. And every study they showed was that nuclear waste causes harm to human health. There is no safe level. The government picked a number out of the hat because they said, and I actually read an article about this by Dr. Alvin Weinberg, who was a pro-nuclear proponent in the 50s and 70s. He gave a speech in which he called themselves the nuclear priesthood. They recognized the severity of the damage that it could cause, and they said, well, Americans have now got it. We're now in a Faustian agreement with the nuclear industry, because it is our responsibility to protect the planet from here into infinity. I mean, it's unconscionable that they actually even know how much harm it is. But let me get back to this. Most people are not aware that the government standard, which actually has been raised since Fukushima by exponential amounts, but the amount of level of harm, the government decided when they went into this, it said, we know for a fact that for every 2 rads of radiation in the air for a population of 2 million, we are going to see 32,000 extra cancers and leukemias, and we are going to see 225,000 birth defects. Those studies are in Dr. John Goffman's books. He has several books in which those actual scientific studies are, you can see the information. Unfortunately, yeah. Because of the way the scientific community has been co-opted by the nuclear industry, even students cannot access those earlier documents. It's very difficult when you start going and looking for research. It's all been suppressed because the catastrophic, I mean, we're just talking economics here. If they were to really own up to the damage that they've caused, my guess is that the fire at Bridgeton or it's Bridgeton, right, where the fire is?
Yeah.
My guess would be is they know that the waste has spread so far beyond. That's why they're dragging their legs. That's why they can't find a place to start the wall because it's too out of control. You guys get flooded. Let's just think about
it.
You know,
it's spread everywhere.
Just anybody, a kindergarten put some paint down on a piece of paper and pours water on it sees exactly what happens with the process. We're not children anymore. And it is time for our government to stop acting like, teenagers who got caught stealing the car. I mean, they really do need to own this.
Right, and maybe I misspoke, but it's more difficult to confirm the correlation because a lot of people necessarily don't know about the contamination that's in their area, so they don't necessarily get screenings and begin that process of.
Exactly. And the other thing is we live in a transit society. People grow up and move away, and the harm was done to them in utero and in childhood. And so it takes, and once, for example, somebody has schizophrenia, it has typically not been diagnosed as related to nuclear waste. But we know for a fact from John Goffman's studies that there is a much higher incident of schizophrenia among people who have been exposed to nuclear waste. We
That's
know the
very
same.
interesting.
Yes.
I'd be very very curious to look into some of that research. Again, I'm 22
Well,
years old and I've only been on this for about 5 years, but that's there's a lot that I understand that that can be learned from this from some of the years of the decades of research that's been done, and it's just a matter of whether or not I think you're aware of it and whether or not it's something that's immediate for you, that's personal, or that affects you. And I think that at least with my experience in St. Louis and what I've seen is some people don't want to know that they've been poisoned or that their government isn't necessarily looking out for their best interest and kind of stuck
that's
their heads in the sand.
100% true. That's 100% true. People do, and I think it's because they feel like there is really nothing they can do about it. Like, okay, so I mean, and even if we face this, like we look at what's going on in St. Louis, it's kind of like what my daughter said to me. We live on the West Coast, and the radiation rates, I mean, I don't know if you're aware of it, many people are not, but Fukushima basically has a nuclear volcano still spewing out radiation and nuclear waste into the air. The radiation levels on the West Coast are off the charts. Fukushima is not a done deal. And I've been very concerned with my own children. And, there's things that are happening to family members. Like my granddaughter has this kind of strange autoimmune disease. Like she's got this like little thing that's gone on. It's a rare autoimmune virus. And I was like, my daughter got very upset when I said, well, maybe that's from Fukushima. She was very upset. My own child was very upset, did not even want me to talk to her about it. So I cannot imagine what it would be like to live in St. Louis where you guys know that it's there. And really, we have a government who is just not, they're just refusing to help. Has anybody at the governor's office given you any valid reason or any response to, I read an article that said there was over 12,000 signatures. That was probably you guys did this.
Yeah,
12,000
that was,
signatures.
I co-wrote that petition. There's almost 13,000, but they're
Wow.
like I said earlier in the interview, they're really sitting on their hands because they were waiting for the EPA to come out with plans for an isolation barrier, and they have
Yeah, but
seemingly full trust.
that does not relocate people. Like they can do the isolation barrier, but have they given you any reason why they cannot immediately improve the health, the future, the capacity for these citizens that are living right next to the nuclear dump site to be able to, I mean, our Constitution gives us the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is not available to the citizens of St. Louis as long as they're sitting, living right next door to a nuclear dump site.
You're preaching to the Libertarian choir here. I certainly agree with that sentiment. No, I haven't seen any good reason why they can't.
Have they told you any
And that.
reason? Has Governor Nixon's office told you any good reason why they
It's been
won't?
silence. I've spoken with some members of the senior staff, and again, they recognize that that there's an issue here, but they don't necessarily see it as a problem because in a sense, it's like, well, it's not really my problem. They don't see it as their problem. They see it as, another agency's responsibility. They see it as something that's not, they don't think that will affect their families in some way or another.
What was
And I believe that they're you know, that they're holding out because they don't think that they'll have the resources or the funds to, you know, I really don't have a good answer to that question, only because, again, it's been...
My understanding is if the governor declares a state of emergency, it's going to be federal funds that'll be doing the relocating,
correct,
right? So why, I mean, what is it that the governor refuses to declare a state of emergency to protect the people of St. Louis when it is not going to cost the state of Missouri one dime? Why does
It would cost about 25% under the Stafford Act, but those, you know, again, that would be reimbursed. My personal theory, and again, this is only my opinion, this isn't fact, but I think maybe the governor doesn't want to be the one to pull the fire alarm, basically. Blow the whistle on this.
But the whistle's been blown. Hello, we have dead children dropping off like flies. We have children dropping off like flies right now. I mean, it makes me angry. You started this journey when you were 17 years old. For goodness sakes, that is a crime. That alone, a child should not have to, like, beg its government for 5 years to please move my family away to a place where I can grow up and go to college and hopefully not be damaged. I mean, it's unconscionable. I mean, Governor Jay Nixon's office needs to have about 50,000, 30,000 people. Those 13,000 people need to go sit in his office and demand in his state of emergency to get people remediated immediately. I mean,
I think he at least owes us a press conference. I think he at least owes us a statement. He at least owes us an acknowledgement of our voices and an acknowledgement that this is something that we're concerned about. And, you know, to answer our questions, what can you do? You know, here we're not just complaining and saying, well, this is something that needs to, you know, be taken care of. We provided them a solution. We provided to them a playbook. We provided to them historical precedents. You know, we said, here's a possible solution. Now, what can you do to work with us as citizens to use your authority in the interest of our health and safety to provide some level of assistance or, you know, to work together with us to be part of the solution rather than to be part of the problem by staying silent on this issue?
Have you guys contacted Edward, Mr. Moniz? I think his first name is Edward. I don't know his name. The Secretary of
Department of Energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that the congressional delegation here, the senators and representatives, did send him a letter to request a response on their push for a transfer to USRAP. To my knowledge, they haven't given a response yet, but. You know, in that letter, they acknowledged that, you know, this is a sensitive issue because, you know, the Department of Energy is a partially responsible party. And, you know, part of this is their waste. But I think that's also been one of the reasons why they've stayed silent on it, because, you know, they have a vested interest in necessarily not having to, to deal with this, because
look, it's the 90% rule in effect. This is really the bottom line. It's the 90% rule in effect. They are going to deny that radiation causes harm, underreport the negative effects of radiation. They're sticking to that story since it was adopted right after World War II. Let me give the listeners the phone number for the Department of Energy. It's 202-586-5000. People need to call Ernest Moniz, Dr. Ernest Moniz, M-O-N-I-Z. And I encourage people to go to energy.gov and get the address, write them an email, send them an email. The Department of Energy needs to take a much more active hand in forcing the governor to declare a state of emergency. Like this is, and also, I would suggest that people call the White House and tell the White House to force the governor to declare a state of emergency. The president, you know, the day after the president shed those tears for the children when he was trying to modify the gun laws, I called the White House and said, you know what? Would you please extend those tears to the children who are in St. Louis? We have lost thousands, thousands, untold more in St. Louis than have ever been killed by guns, no doubt. I mean, if we were to add up all the cancer deaths that came out of St. Louis, which it's impossible from the gross negligence that our government has operated with in the nuclear industry.
But, right, and that Coldwater Creek study that showed this very apparent correlation between the wastes in Coldwater Creek and the number of cancers and immuno disorders that that have been caused as a result. That took years and private funding of a small group of dedicated high school friends that worked together.
Say that again. Pooled, tell me this again. I'm just like unbelievable. Repeat that to me again. High school students did.
Yeah,
what?
From I believe. I don't want to misspeak and say which high school they're from. From a high school in North County. You know, they noticed a couple of years, you know, some time after they had graduated that they and some of their children and people that they had graduated with had all these rare types of cancers and immune disorders, and started putting together research and creating the study and these maps to show that people living around Coldwater Creek had in fact been affected by the waste that was haphazardly dumped there.
I interviewed
Kim. Kim was one of the.
She called me up. She called me up and was discussing that and how it came about because they had moved about. No one even thought about it until they became friends and they all started noticing that they all had similar illnesses. And because they were well educated, they created some scientific studies, their own personal surveys, not true scientific studies, but little surveys of where the diseases were. But look, you know, this whole thing, we can document all, we can document, 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 but, you know, we don't need, we don't, that, we already know the harm it's causing. And this is right. Why I'm like jumping up and down. Like, I cannot believe that Governor Jay Nixon. Now, when you said you talked to some staff members, what did you call them? High level staff members or something like that?
Senior staff. I talked with Harry Bazoyan, who's the senior policy director under Governor Nixon. He was actually just transferred into that position after Peter Laskowski was transferred out to, I believe, Department of Health and Senior Services or
Department of Health. So, ironic.
So Harry came from Department of Natural Resources. He has more of a working knowledge of the site, and you know, we were able to agree again on some more of the scientific aspects in regards to Bridgeton landfill, but you know, because we're both essentially looking at the same information. But again, he you know, he was pretty inconclusive in that meeting.
What is the reason why they are not declaring a state of emergency? That's the question. I think you guys need to really drill home on that one.
Because they do not see it as a problem.
They do not see what as a problem? The deaths of children?
They do not see the combination of a subsurface smoldering event and radioactively contaminated materials intermingling as a threat to human health and safety.
And based on what science?
I don't agree with that, but...
But based on what science do they have? What scientific studies are they proving or showing that that's not done?
I can't speak directly to that. I imagine it's a combination of reports from Department of Natural Resources, EPA, and public services.
Look, this is one of the things that people need to do. They really need to start demanding to see, because I guarantee you there are no scientific studies. There are none. They're just saying it because that's what they're told. And so, I mean, honestly, this is just such an outrage that they're just saying, oh, the emperor has no clothes. I mean, doctor, you definitely need to get, there's a lot of science. In fact, you kind of have a science mind. You could probably read it. There are some really great books that Dr. John Goffman wrote that are scientific, the studies of low-level radiation in human health. You could find it on even Amazon or abesbooks.com. And they are thick books. There are all kinds of studies that basically show the science that they did that show that there is, and these are things that our government has chosen to ignore. It's the 90% rule, like John Goffman said. But we have had 70 years of lies to the point where now cancer is on an epidemic in our country. And in fact, they're actually beginning to tell us that we're getting cancer for reasons other, you know, they... This is, in fact, part of the interesting thing. John Goffman outlined this also. If there is any other reason that a person can be getting cancer or any other disease when they're exposed to two separate elements that might cause cancer, The cause of nuclear radiation causing or exacerbating that issue is summarily ignored and taken off the table. So the denial of the nuclear industry is killing, literally killing the planet. And it is going to take us to be a pack of bees to go sit in their offices and demand that we get immediate. I mean, like, they can deny that it's causing harm, but they're not showing you any scientific studies. I mean, I'm kind of blown away. Oh, wow, you guys, I think we just lost him. Let me see if I can find him again. Hold on. Let me see. Let me see if I can plug his number right back in and I'll give him a call right back. We dropped the call with Drew. I have no idea what happened, but let me give him a call back. Hold on. We're at 8:50, so we've only got about 8 more minutes to talk to this young man. What a brilliant young man. Wow. He could pick up. His phone didn't die. If his phone died, I'll just talk to you a little bit about
Oh,
my
I
phone.
apologize. I dropped out.
That's all right. That's all right. I didn't realize that I was blabbing on, and then I realized that the call dropped off. So this is super important because the scientific studies are there, but this is why I really firmly believe St. Louis is probably the spark that's going to help. My goal with the elected officials in St. Louis is to help them change their paradigm because for 70 years we've had nothing but the what I call the 90% rule. Deny that radiation causes harm, underreport the negative effects of radiation. The only reason that this has gotten off the ground at all is because those people on Facebook started plotting their own diseases. The government cannot deny the deaths when they look at these plot charts. So what they're attempting to do by underreporting it or by denying it is to brush it under the carpet and hope nobody notices. That's why
Right.
they, I mean, but this attitude has got to change because really the nuclear industry and all of these nuclear power plants were never designed to operate for 50, 60 years. They were all designed to operate for 10, 20 years. And so not just nuclear waste, but we have nuclear power plants. And we need to change, you know, nu people that tell us that nuclear is clean energy are 100% off their rocker because uranium mining is one of the
That's a meme.
dirtiest.
That's false. It's just one of those things that's been perpetuated. It's propaganda. It's
By the nuclear industry, frankly, and by the
right.
war machine, because if nobody's noticed, war is the only product that the United States has anymore.
Yeah,
So
it's the only product we export, anyway.
it's the only product we actually have. We have a war going on inside the United States against our own people. 30,000, you know, this year alone, we've lost, you know, at least 1,000 people have been killed by cops. I mean, we've got prisons for profit in our country. It's the rest of the world, most Americans think that the rest of the world respects us, which is completely not true. Make an effort to immigrate to another country. They're not very happy to have Americans there. It's not something, I mean, we have got to clean up our act and stop acting like teenagers. I liken it to teenagers who've been caught smoking pot in the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, I
Yeah.
didn't do it. Like, what? Not me. I don't, you know.
A great metaphor.
Well, look, you know, Drew, I had no idea when we started talking an hour ago that you were 17 years old when you got involved in this. What at 17 made you pick up this mantle?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that it was something that it was presented to me that I really didn't have a choice in. I got a postcard from the EPA about their 2008 record of decision to cap it and leave it, and that it was that there was a citizen review that they could, you know, you could come and, you know, speak your piece about, you know, that it had been challenged. And I mean, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what they were capping. I didn't know what they were leaving. So it's just curiosity, really.
Wow.
You know, I wanted to know,
So
and
let me, you know, this guy Lazowski, Peter Lazowski, he's been transferred to the Department of Health. Are you,
yeah, to another agency.
yes, but it's a state agency, correct?
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Has anybody been talking about the public health concern? Have you contacted, has MAP contacted the Department of Health and Welfare at the state agency? Because this is a public health issue. This is not just, oh, we need to remediate the dirt. This is a severe, catastrophic public health issue that I have not heard one representative from the Public Health Agency of Missouri discuss.
Yeah, the Department of Health and Senior Services has been the one that conducted a lot of the air sampling and air monitoring around Bridgeton Landfill, but they really haven't involved with the Westlake issue. So
has your organization gone to them and said, hey, what are you guys going to do about this?
Yes, essentially. We just need to keep asking questions, keep being persistent, and keep raising our voices to the people that that we elect to keep them accountable. And
well, when you say keep them accountable, but they're not accountable. So, like, my question is this: what are they telling you when you contact them at the Department of Health, and what studies have they given you to prove their point that this is not a true danger?
Well, the Department of Health, Dr. Khan, has been heading up some of the health surveys surrounding the area, and essentially what we get from them is that there's not enough funding there, that there's not enough money, that essentially I think it's an issue of priorities, that that this isn't really seen as an imminent as something that's worth putting all of the effort and the resources that we have available to us into fully understanding. And I mean, that work has been very slow progress, and that's also been one of the key points with that we've raised with St. Louis County Council, to which we haven't heard any responses yet, is to expedite and to expand the health studies that the Department of Health is conducting.
Look, the reality is we don't need more studies. We know that you guys are living in a danger zone. We know that for a fact. We know that the studies were conducted in the 50s and the 60s. This is why people in Hanford are not allowed to live right next door to Hanford. You can't build a house 1 mile away from the Hanford nuclear dump site. And if I were you guys, I would pick up that mantle of Hanford and use that comparison all the time, because honestly, it's not an isolated site. You guys have your unique problems and issues there because of the gross negligence. But in Hanford, the government attempted to do it, quote, correctly, right? So you could use them as the role model to push, because this is a public health safety issue. And while the state may be underfunded, it is up to them to ask for help, again, from the federal government, because it was the federal government who has conducted this harm on people. So, I'm just kind of blown away by the lack of concern and the whole issue. But let me sum this up here, Drew, because we're in our last minute of the show. Is there anything you'd like to say, or want anyone to do in a quick 30 seconds?
Yeah, I would like to say that to the residents of St. Louis and the people all around the world, this is the age of nuclear waste. This is something that we all have to think about how to handle, and I would say that there's a part that we all have to play,
yes,
however big or small, and that you all have a voice, and that voice needs to be heard.
Right. We need everybody to get active and call everybody. I mean,
speak out,
Drew, I hope you will come back on the show again.
Oh, that would be great. I'd love for that to be
happening. Okay, well, thank you for joining us, and everybody out there, call your elected officials, put your courage feet on, make your voices heard. Thank you for joining us.